And then, brothers and sisters in Christ, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, for over 77 years, the Lutheran Women's Missionary League has engaged women in mission as they have sought to spread the gospel news to anyone and everyone they can. These women in mission have reached millions all over the world, connecting people to the Word of God by giving physically and spiritually, by collecting simple coins, by joining together in song and prayer. They have gathered together to love and support people in need. And so for us today, as we reflect on the LWML and really on the greater, on the mission that we have been given to do, I think it's always helpful to start at the most simplest part. So what is the mission? And the mission, while it might seem obvious, is the gospel message. We want people to know who Christ is. Paul says it beautifully in Romans 10, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. This is the mission. This is the purpose. This is the aim. We want to share this good news that Christ is Lord, that he is resurrected from the dead, so that people would believe and be saved. Now, before ascending into heaven, Jesus meets with the disciples and gives them the task, the mission. We see in Matthew 28 that they are commanded to go, to make disciples, to baptize, and to teach. They are to do all of these things to share the gospel. And why? So that people would believe, so that people would be saved. We need salvation. We need to know of God and his unreal love for us. We need to be energized and impassioned by these things that we ourselves have been given. And as we see and turn the pages of our Bibles, we see the story continues with the disciples gathered together in Jerusalem. We see them blessed by the Holy Spirit as they themselves become the personification of God's very temple, blessed with his Spirit and his presence. Not only are their hearts on fire, but there are strange little flickers of flame above them in this supernatural thing. And while this may seem very strange, and to the people who are around them, it is very strange. But from this event, thousands believe in Jerusalem. But then they face great persecution. And in facing persecution, we always ask, why, God? Why would you let this happen to us? But we know that even through evil things, God can work his purposes. As the disciples and the believers are spread throughout the known world after this persecution, they flee Jerusalem to the neighboring communities, to all over the world, to spread this gospel message that they carry in their hearts, that they are so passionate about. They continue to bring it to the world. And then the book of Acts continues by focusing on the heavy hitters, Philip and Peter and Paul. These guys who just do amazing and unbelievable things. Mostly we focus on Paul, and that's really because I think he's the first missionary. He is the one who has really greatly carried this mission and also taught very well as we focus on what God has done. And we see through the ages, as we look at history, how the Christian church has shaped the world, how we have been present in every spot, how we have been continually preaching the message, all focused on what God has done and what God calls us to do. Because we know the story. We turn all the way to the book of Genesis, and what we see is God in perfection and in perfect relationship with man. But when we see sin enter into the picture, we see that the relationship is just destroyed. But yet, for God, he sets a plan forth. He gets things going in motion. Even all the way in Genesis 3, there is a plan to restore and fix this relationship. And after thousands of years of waiting, after thousands of years of holding on to this promise that someone would be born who would crush sin for us, Jesus arrives on the scene. And as he preaches and teaches, he is here to fulfill the promises of God and to restore this relationship between God and man. And we see this done through the cross. Strangely, this suffering, this death, this resurrection is all done to bring us back to God, to restore us to perfect relationship with Him, to change our hearts, to bring Him glory, and to serve Him, not as some indentured servant, but because we are free to, because we want to. We do as He commands because we know that it is to His glory and to our benefit. And as we read in the end of the Gospel of Matthew, we have gone. We have gone. We have made disciples. We have baptized. We have taught. And as of 2015, there were 2.3 billion Christians living. Let's not forget all of those saints who have passed and all of those saints who are to come, who confess salvation in Christ alone. But yet what I see the most neglected from that great commission of Matthew 28 is teaching. We're pretty good at going. We're all right at making disciples. We love baptizing. We have done it so wonderfully in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But so often we just stop there. We neglect the teaching. Jesus has commanded us to go and teach all those what Jesus has commanded. And sure, we have taught that Jesus is Lord, but so often we neglect to teach what it means to follow Jesus, what it means to be a disciple. And so thankfully, as God preserves His word, we get to sit in on this lesson that Jesus is giving to the disciples. At the beginning of this lesson, it's not a joyous lesson. The start of this is a very serious warning from Jesus Himself, warning those who cause others to stumble. And He doesn't use careless words. He says that it would be better for that person if he were killed than if he were to lead someone astray. That's uncharacteristic of our Lord Jesus, but that is how serious He is. And for the longest time, I always attributed this just to pastors. So this was a serious warning for me to take full account of what I am preaching and teaching. But really, this is a serious warning for us all. Because I'm not the only one who teaches the faith. We all do. We do it among our families, our friends, even strangers. We teach the faith. We teach who Christ is to the world. And when we teach, we have to know what we teach, because it is the worst thing for us to lead someone astray. And reflecting on mission, what is one of the biggest things we do in mission? But teach, to show people who God is. And so, is this a warning that we should not teach? Well, no. We still need to do this. But this is a warning that we need to be very aware of what we teach. And so we need to be in constant education ourselves. This means Bible studies, personal studies. There's so many things out there to do to grow in our own faiths and education so that we know, so that we are prepared to then teach the faith. I, as I have been lifted up to be pastor, went through 4 years of seminary after going through 4 years of college. I have been trained and educated and taught so that I might do this. Now, I'm not saying everybody needs to go to the sem. First off, it's expensive. And second off, nobody's got time for that. Let's be honest. But you all need to be constantly learning and growing in your faith to then also teach the faith. Then Jesus continues by telling us to be forgiving. This is something that we join together in our confession. This is something that we join together in the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us as we forgive others. Honestly, it's the old classic adage, you've got to practice what you preach. If we preach forgiveness, we better be forgiving people. And look at what He says in verse 4, found on page 6 of our gospel lesson. If this guy comes to you after sinning against you 7 times in the day, in one day, sins against you 7 times, and each and every single time he says to you, I repent, Jesus says, you must forgive him. Again, not light words, not easy words, not idle words. Very serious things that he's saying. Think about it practically, right? Somehow, somebody got into your bank account, and they stole $100 from you. Let's say it's your cousin or your brother. He really needed the money, but he stole from you. And he comes to you and he says, listen, I did it. I took $100 for you, from you, and I'm sorry, and I repent. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to forgive them. But how easy is it to do it if he does it 6 more times in that one day? He does it first thing in the morning. He does it after you have gone to bed. He continually is stealing from you. He has stolen $700 from you. Can you forgive him? Look into your heart of hearts and ask if you could seriously forgive that person. Jesus says you better be doing it. He says you must forgive him. But notice he also says, don't worry, it'll be easy. He never says that. This new life that we have been called to live, this new heart that we have been called to have, it's not an easy thing. But we must do it. We must take it seriously. We also know and trust in God who has blessed us with faith to be able to do these things. But faith, apparently there's amounts of it. And so often we feel like we don't have enough faith. Jesus shares something interesting about faith, that if you have just this tiny little amount of faith, you can do great things. Just like this tiny little seed has the potential to be a much larger plant growing 100% times more than itself. And all seeds are like this, let's be real. Even the seed for a maple tree is only about that big. But yet those trees can grow stories tall into a huge plant. This kind of confusing piece of scripture is best understood by looking firstly at what the apostles say to God. They say to Jesus, increase our faith. Because what has Jesus just told them? He's told them these two extremely serious things, that you better know what you're teaching or else you better just off yourself. Wow. And then he says to them, you must forgive repeatedly, nonstop being forgiving. And the apostles go, we can't do that. I don't have the ability to do that. So please, God, increase my faith. And Jesus reveals to them, actually, a strange turn of encouragement. With a little bit of faith, you can do amazing things. You can do this work of teaching, leading, guiding, and forgiving, even with this tiny amount of faith. Because, as Nancy well said this morning, the subject of our faith is what empowers us to do that. God gives us the ability to do these things. You walk up to God and you say to him, I need help. And he says, you got it. And blesses us with everything that we need to do these things. It's when we try to do them on our own that we see us failing. When we do it with God, we see great things accomplished through his power. And then the final lesson that Jesus teaches us today in this gospel lesson is to be a humble servant. Beware of teaching falsely and false teachers. Always be forgiving. Realize the great things that God will do through you. And then finally, be humble. Humility is one of the most Christ-like things that we can do. Being humble causes us to put others first, to be concerned with their needs, to elevate them, to do things for them, to serve them, to even get into the dirtiest and muckiest parts of life so that we might love them. And through all of these things of teaching the truth, of being forgiving, of using the faith, of being humble, we show the love of Christ to the world. We show what it means to walk as a child of God. Again, none of these things are easy. But Christ has promised, as it is in the end of Matthew 28, he says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them all I've commanded you. And then what does he say? And I am always with you. He does not leave us or forsake us to do these difficult things on our own, but blesses us with his very presence always, so that he is always with us, able to serve us and love us. And as we reflect on the LWML, as we reflect on mission, that's how we do it. We do it through the power of God, motivated by the love of Christ, to live that love of Christ, so that all people would know of the love of Christ, so that their hearts would be changed and that they would grow closer to God for salvation's sake. As we reflect on the LWML and all that they do, we should all be encouraged by them. Those little widow's mite boxes, it's just loose change that they throw into a tiny little cardboard box. But they pool all of those resources together and do unreal things with that money. These women gather together and pray together and sing together and study scripture together. We should follow their lead in how to do mission, gathering our gifts, whether they are small or great, gathering together to pray, to sing, to be joined together in God's word. Because God has not put us here to be by ourselves, he has put us here together. As Paul tells us in Corinthians, we are the body of Christ. We are not out here on our own, by ourselves, trying to do all of these difficult things. We do it together. And so let us take a page out of the LWML's book and go together to love and serve, to care for people all over the world, to share the love of Christ in truth and with humility. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.